This podcast is proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.
Hi, I'm Gordon Muller. I'm the guru in the Doc and Guru podcast. Thanks for being with us. For those of you who don't know me, I've spent over 40 years in the media industry in South Africa and pretty much made it my home, my life, my passion. I have other passions, unfortunately, for my sins. I'm an Arsenal supporter and a Sharks supporter, so we're going to do pretty much everything on the show as it pertains to media, marketing, and money, but we don't take jokes about Arsenal or the Sharks.
I'm Doug Mateus, the doc on the show. And again, for those of you who don't know me, I spent 30 years in various companies in South Africa running different marketing functions. And the last job I had, I was privileged enough to work with a team that took the brand to the fastest growing brand in South Africa in 2018 with a 47% year-on-year growth. So that was a great achievement for the team, and I'm really proud of that. From a personal point of view, I do a little bit of cycling and also snow skiing, so we quite enjoy that. But again, today's discussion is around all things marketing and media.
Yep, that's right, Doc. All things marketing and media. No subject too big, no topic too small, no subject too hot to handle. Please get in touch with us on our Facebook page, follow us, like us, whatever it takes. We would love you to be involved with the show, and we really want to make it as inclusive and as energetic as I know this industry is capable of.
Okay, welcome to this week's episode of the Doc and the Guru podcast. I'm Dr. Doug Mateus, and it's my privilege to take you through this week's episode alone. Gordon, the guru, has kindly agreed that I chat with an ex-colleague of mine from London, Wayne Merris. And Wayne and I have spent a long time together, 6 years, working on some great pieces of work in South Africa. And what I've asked Wayne to do is just to share some of his experiences, the similarities and differences between the UK that he's now relocated to and South Africa. Wayne, just before we get started, you and I worked on some big pieces of work across brand and sponsorship, product and retail, and in the process took the company to the fastest growing brand in 2018. You then had a great opportunity to move abroad and left in 2018 at the end of that to London. If you could just tell us a little bit about how that came about, and specifically, I want to use the time to talk about the lessons between the South African marketing landscape and what you found in the UK over that period.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. First of all, thanks for having me on the show. 2018, I was fortunate to meet one of the partners in the business that I'm currently working for, who is a South African. And in conversation, he felt that the business needed to bring in some proven marketing experience to deliver some step change on this side. And he introduced me to the chairman and the chief operating officer. And that led to a series of Skype interviews with them. And at the end of the day, that resulted in me being appointed head of marketing.
Okay, great. So you actually, so you really never saw the operation. You didn't meet with the people face to face. This was all done over Skype and voice over IP, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's I guess it's a case in point of how technology has really made the world a global village. I'd been 11 years in big corporate, first with Pernod Ricard for 5 years, and then with Solsea for six. And I just thought it was the right time for a change. So I decided to take a leap of faith.
Great. So you moved over there. So Wayne, just in terms of the business that you joined, just talk a little bit about what is the business and what do you guys do?
So it's an online education business called Exemplar Education. It's the UK's largest provider of quality, affordable, supplementary online maths and English for year one to GCSE. There have been over 400,000 students that have been on the course to date, and we currently have just under 7,000 online lessons being completed every night. So it's a market leader in this space, and it's quite an exciting space to be in.
Well, it's quite interesting because, obviously from a South African perspective, education, and I guess it's a global thing, is such an important course, cornerstone of development as a person and as a nation. So it's great that you're playing a role there in the UK in terms of getting kids, better qualified, as you say, with maths and English. Wayne, just talking, and again, I think the nature of today's discussion, I'd like to use it as for people who are maybe looking at moving or growing their sort of experience in the international field. I mean, you've moved now, as you said, from a big corporate. You were at Pernod, you were at Celsi, into a smaller operation. So that was one change. You changed industries from the alcoholic sector to the telecommunications sector, now into education. And then also geography. You know, from South Africa, you uprooted. And you're now finding yourself in the UK. So can you just talk about some of those marketing challenges that you faced across those three different changes?
Yeah, Doug, you know, I've always subscribed to the belief that marketing is a hugely transferable skill. And I was fortunate that arriving on this side, the chairman was quite open-minded from the get-go, and he brought me on board with a mandate to challenge convention and to try and do things differently to affect that step change. So that afforded me a blue sky landscape to operate in when I arrived, which was a great benefit.
Okay, geez, Wayne, a blue sky in London. I mean, but mind you, I shouldn't be mocking you guys with the recent cricket results. And I'm not sure if you're still a Protea at heart or whether you've gone over to the English side. So certainly a blue sky is quite ironic.
Yeah, I don't think we should get into the cricket debate at this stage. But we'll take blue sky as much as we can on this end. I was placed in an immersive 7-week induction program when I arrived here, which was great, and it exposed me to all the areas of the business, allowed me to craft an informed marketing strategy by being involved in all aspects of the business, and I put that together and presented it to the board for their approval.
And I think, you know, just talking of that, and I think you were quite lucky and fortunate in some ways to go through that time, you know, because many companies, and I think you and I have also experienced it, you get dropped in the deep end and you've got to sink or swim. You know, you don't have time to really immerse yourself, really understand the core business. And I think, you know, that is so critical, specifically with the customer-facing part of the business, like marketing.
Yeah, I mean, just talking to that without a doubt. I mean, I spent time in the finance, in the operations, and specifically the operational side of things, and seeing the challenges faced by all aspects of the business. I went out on calls with our course advisors into people's homes, understanding the consumer face to face, the challenges that they experience, and especially coming into a new market that was invaluable in terms of really. Really engaging with the consumer and getting to understand them firsthand.
Yeah, and I think it's an obvious point, but yet something that's overlooked is to really fundamentally understand the market, you know, the insights to it. And I think, you know, again, you and I have a long career in marketing, and a lot of the times it's buzzwords and you know, people are flippant about let's gain insights and let's look at the research and all of that stuff. And I'm always sure people really go through it. It's more of a tick box exercise. But in your case, I mean, through necessity, you know, you had to understand that market. And I guess the lesson isn't just for you, it's for anybody, you know, whether you're going to go to London or stay in South Africa. It's to gain a fundamental and deep understanding of the people who you are marketing to, as opposed to, you know, just doing something on the surface.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. No, anyway, just moving on to you, you know, without giving too much away in terms of the company and the intricacies of it, but I mean, just some of the key levers that you used to identify some of that change. And again, you know, I'd like to just use that as a sort of point of departure for people who are listening to the podcast to see some of the differences and similarities that you found in your time in the UK.
Yeah, digital is massive on this end, Doug, in comparison to the South African market. The UK is the largest market in Europe, and it's the second largest market in the world behind China in terms of digital marketing spend. So to start off with, you know, the key priority was to clearly grasp the primary target market like you've just mentioned, and then to proactively address the most important digital marketing channels for the business to reach that market, which ended up really being SEO, online reputation, social media presence, targeted PPC, and then outsourced DRIS lead generation. So we started by embarking on a consumer segmentation product with CACI here in the UK, which gave us a better understanding of our existing customers against the Acorn social grades on this end. And that allowed us to better target new prospects. And we embarked on a pitch process from there, targeting smaller, innovative boutique-type agencies in the digital space. After a lengthy and robust pitch process, we appointed South Coast Social out of Bournemouth to spearhead our social media strategy, and Hanover in London to proactively address our SEO and online reputation. We've also onboarded a number of new online lead generation businesses who've delivered great results. And at the end of the day, working with the right innovative and like-minded suppliers is really half the battle won. And we've seen some great tangible results in shifting the dials in those areas with those new agency partners on board.
Jeez, it's really sort of head-to-toe digital. I guess every time I travel to either London or New York or one of those major cities, you certainly are bombarded, I guess, with digital messaging, you know, whether it's digital outdoor in the traditional sense, you know, whether it's the tube or the underground, and then certainly, obviously, on your phone and on your tablet. So I think what I'm hearing is it's just digital head-to-toe. And so from your point of view, how have you found some of the biggest challenges in adapting from South Africa to the UK from that marketing perspective?
So I guess when you move into a new market, probably self-belief and confidence, which needs to be tempered with a dose of humility, because moving to a new market can be quite intimidating, you know. My suggestion is to start by immersing yourself in the market by using insights to understand the relevant target consumer, to communicate effectively with them in the right place and at the right times. You know, just thinking about it now, another major difference was the level of digital marketing maturity, like you said. When South Africa, marketers generally spend around 15% of their marketing budget on digital channels in a largely TV-led market. As I mentioned earlier, the UK is an extremely mature digital marketing landscape, and well over 60% of marketing budgets allocated digital channels on this end. We're actually allocating over 90% of marketing budget to digital because it is the most effective, cost-effective and targeted and measurable way to reach our target market, and with the least wastage as well. There's also a more academic application of marketing in the UK with a greater emphasis on measurability. So things like marketing mix modeling or econometrics and attribution modeling are also key to constantly analyzing marketing efficacy, so that guys can fail fast and pivot effectively to other strategies, campaigns, and channels that will deliver a better ROI for them. In the B2B space, there's also a huge shift to account-based marketing to deliver personalized and exclusive communication to business decision makers, because it's an extremely targeted and measurable way to do so. So it's a lot more granular and a lot more analytical.
You're listening to The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media.
You know, it's interesting, and I guess, you know, one of the lessons, and I look back at my career, and digital certainly is growing and will continue to grow in South Africa, but not, you know, it certainly isn't to this level. You know, you're talking about a lot of attribution modeling, and it's almost the science of marketing. Have you found that you've lost a little bit of the art, the creative side, or are the two still married in terms of science and art?
Yeah, I guess it really is a measured combination of the two in the current marketplace, you know, where ROI is so important, analytics are at your fingertips, and CEOs and boards are being more critical of marketing spend and getting that return out of it. So without a doubt, the big challenge is to measure or to balance that skill between the art and the science.
Sure. And just and again, Wayne, without, you know, sort of talking out of turn or letting out a company secret, just if you can tell us a little bit about some of the more successful digital marketing campaigns and initiatives that you've rolled out.
Yeah, so in the social media space, we needed to address hygiene to start with. So consolidating the brand's visual presence across all social media platforms, identifying which platforms to concentrate on, and really identifying the key roles that each of them needed to play. So for example, Facebook's our mainstream social media platform, and we inform and entertain the parents there, whereas we use Twitter to educate and position ourselves as an industry thought leader by seeding our weekly blogs there. Instagram is primarily used to deliver brand personality, and we launched a LinkedIn page as a recruitment channel, as well as to use it as a thought leadership channel. In the SEO and online reputation space, we've created some clever automated outbound email strategies to ring fence negative sentiment offline and to publicly amplify positive sentiment online through platforms like Google Reviews and Trustpilot. We've also worked closely with the relevant digital influencers who have high domain and page authorities, who've given us great reviews on their blogs and social media platforms to deliver positive organic Google page one rankings. And then in the lead gen space, we work collaboratively and really closely with our suppliers, always A-B testing and sweating the minutia to constantly improve cost effectiveness and quality of leads.
So it's really a sort of a fit for purpose type, you know, if I just look at what you were saying in terms of the social media platforms, specifically certain platforms result in different initiatives being met than others.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it can't be a spray and pay approach in the social space, and the different platforms certainly have different roles to play. And, you know, bombarding a consumer with the same content across multiple digital platforms just doesn't resonate with him, and it doesn't do the brand any good.
Yeah. Well, just talking quickly about social platforms, I mean, if someone wants to get a hold of you and find out about some of the initiatives that you've spoken about, we've only got limited time, obviously, today. How do they get a hold of you? Are you on the social platforms?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on most of the social platforms. You'll find me on Twitter at Wayne Maris, and also on LinkedIn. Those are primarily my business-related platforms. I obviously have more social-related platforms, which I like to use more for close mates like Facebook and Instagram. And I think that's sort of the social landscape that we find ourselves in nowadays, where as individuals, we also start to segment the way we're using social media platforms ourselves, in terms of the roles that they can play for us.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't think I'm a particularly heavy user of social media, though I do, have quite a profile on LinkedIn. I use that as my lead thing. You know, I like to stick with business as opposed to the social stuff. So even I get a little bit irritated when I get, social stuff or things that I believe should be an Instagram or a Facebook type post across LinkedIn. So so in closing that particular point, Wayne, so if people want to get a hold of you, predominantly, I guess, from a business point of view, it's LinkedIn as your lead medium, just in terms of sharing ideas. And this is, again, to, both South African listeners, as well as probably people who may be listening and downloading the podcast from overseas, just in terms of tapping your brain. Would I be okay to say that they could access you on LinkedIn?
Absolutely. I'm always happy to share information and connect with people out there.
Excellent. Thanks very much. And I think that's always great, because we can, sort of as we learn, we sort of rise and raise each other in the process. Well, just in terms of those campaigns, you've spoken about all the social platforms and that, some of the results, the tangible results that you've seen, would you mind sharing some of that with us?
Yeah, we've seen a lot more stickiness in the social media space in terms of engagement levels and community growth metrics. In the SEO and online reputation space, the tangibles are quite clear to see in the public domain, which is great. So our Trustpilot rating has shifted from 3.2 to 4.1 out of 5. Our Google reviews rating has shifted from an initially concerning 1.8 to a far more acceptable 3.5 out of 5. And our Glassdoor employer satisfaction rating has shifted from 2.3 to 4.2 out of 5. So those metrics are great to see. And then in the lead gen space, we've maintained our acceptable CPA with consistent lead quality that washes through the funnel at the agreed benchmark conversion rates.
Geez, I've got to be honest with you, Wayne, as an old school marketer, I mean, some of those acronyms, I mean, they just went over my head. and I think I think the challenge in a more serious way is for marketers, I want to say young marketers, I want to say all marketers, and I want to say agencies, because again, I've sat through many, 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 many agency presentations, and somehow still, and you made the point in South Africa that digital still isn't the first lead medium. I'd sat in meetings and the agenda item in digital arrives, it's third, fourth, fifth maybe. Yeah. By that time, the attention has waned in the group, the audience, and certainly it's not in the detail that you've just discussed now with one simple answer. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I'm saying certainly in my exposure, a lot of these acronyms are very detailed and very granular. So again, all I can say to marketers out there, and I want to say young marketers, but all marketers, is geez, read, educate yourself, familiarize yourself, because certainly in our lifetime, you know, digital is here for keeps. Although, as you made the point earlier, we're still to a large degree a television-led medium, but certainly if one wants to spread their wings and gain some international exposure in different markets, these are invaluable lessons.
Yeah, Doug, I think to that point, the game has changed and the game continues to change, but there's so much out there that you can upskill yourself with, you know, and it's just a case of being proactive about it. There's some unbelievable online digital marketing courses available, you know, the likes of the courses through University of Cape Town that I was fortunate to do back in 2018, that really gave a really thorough insight into all the platforms and channels in the digital marketing mix. So there are always opportunities for marketers to upskill and also just to get out there and to sense check their level of knowledge and expertise in the space, because it really is a vital space going forward.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's that, and I made the point earlier about you being in the education space, as it turned out, from telcos. But I mean, by and large, I mean, people know that. And we all say that. We say, you know, education is the most powerful weapon and it's going to change the world. Absolutely right. We know that to be the case. But a lot of people are probably lazy in some ways, or think they don't have the time. But what I'm hearing is, you know, as a marketer, you've got to make the time. And I think that goes across the board with any discipline. You know, it's to continuously upskill yourself, continuously develop and push the boundaries. And certainly, if there's one area that you can read up and focus on, it certainly is in the area of digital.
Absolutely. Finally,
yeah, Wayne, again, you know, it's such an interesting topic and quite a detailed. I found that our time has been, there's a lot of information, you know, and again, I just want to stress to listeners out there, there's a lot to absorb in a sort of 20 minute to a half an hour chat. If they want to get more information, I'll urge you, listeners, people who have downloaded the podcast, is get hold of Wayne and just find out a little bit about this whole world of granular, detailed ROI marketing around the digital field. And again, you know, we can chat for a long, long time. We just unfortunately don't have the time. Finally, you know, you straddling both markets, have a lot of experience in the South African market and some experience now in the UK. Can you see this kind of ROI thinking, granularity, discipline finding its way into the SA market?
Yeah, Doug, without a doubt. You know, I think as trading conditions become more and more challenging and the digital market matures more in the South African context, CEOs and boards are just going to demand that marketing spend is more accurately accounted for and measured. So I guess it does beg that old age-old question of whether marketing is art or science, like we discussed earlier. And to my mind, what's becoming more clear is that while effective marketing is undoubtedly a measured balance between the two, the science of targeting and measuring is becoming more and more important in order to achieve those set KPIs and to deliver against required ROIs for businesses.
Okay, yeah, and I think, you know, just from my side, and as I made the point earlier, you know, and one's always got to caution against your particular experience or point of view or whatever the case may be. I've come out of a career that is largely led by television, radio, and later on into digital. And I think certainly, you know, if I can just talk to the marketers of tomorrow, is to really understand that. And also, you know, to find the fun in that, you know, although it's a science and you're saying far more becoming more scientific, one shouldn't lose the arts part of it. And I mean, you and I had a lot of fun with greater agencies, both media as well as creative agencies, at doing stuff that was good work, that was artistic, but also yielded the results. So I don't think that a good piece of creative work is absolutely doesn't yield results. What you're saying is that good piece of creative work now manifests and shows up in a different format, in a digital format.
Absolutely right. At the end of the day, it starts with effective creative. You know, the effective creative is there to break the clutter, and but without using that in a smart, clever way to break the media fragmentation clutter, you know, it doesn't deliver the end result.
And I think it's such an important point, you know, and again, that goes across all media type. I think there's a definite place for clever, creative, but as you say, married with the right placement and the right metrics, as opposed to the other side. You know, I'd hate for a situation where we have, and no disrespect to business scientists and actuaries and people who are more mathematically and statistically inclined, to start running the marketing function. I still think there needs to be a healthy balance between, you know, the more creative side, as well as obviously the more scientific side. Because as you say, you know, money is tight globally. People are far more demanding, and rightly so, that one can't just be glib about spending money, but certainly is to find that balance between the two. So Wayne, again, you know, from my side, thanks very much for phoning in from London. I really do appreciate your time. And just again to our listeners out there, please get involved. You know, as Gordon and I always say, this is about all things marketing and media, and in fact, everything in between. So get a hold of us on our Facebook page, get a hold of us on either our LinkedIn pages, be part of the community. Let's chat, you know. We've been saying it for a while now from a South African marketing and media perspective. Let's open the dialogue. Let's ask the easy and the hard questions. And, you know, we hope to have exciting and informative podcasts going forward with great guests like Wayne today. So please get involved, get a hold of us, like, comment, talk. And certainly from our side, we'll do our absolute best to respond and to accommodate your request. So again, from my side, Wayne, thanks very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks very much, Doug. It was a great pleasure being on the podcast, and I look forward to the Proteas England ODI series to follow now.
No, and everything was going so well. We can't control that as much as we'd like to have a scientific algorithm and some a measurement for that. I certainly hope they can play. As you know, that sport is such a great unifier, and hopefully the Proteas go out. But obviously, you know, all the best to England as well as great visitors to our shore. Again, Wayne, in closing, thanks very much. I really appreciate your time. Have a good day. And from my side, Doug Mateus, I will catch you next week with Gordon on the next episode of the Doc and the Guru podcast.
And so that was another episode of the Doc and the Guru. Please don't forget to get hold of us on Facebook, like us, follow us, subscribe to the podcast. And then from my side, you can get hold of me on LinkedIn, Dr. Doug Mateus. I'm very active and very keen to hear about your views, and certainly will respond, and hopefully we can bring that into the show.
Thanks, Doc, and it's Gordon Miller, the Guru, signing off. Thank you for being with us and listening into this podcast today. You can pick up the discussion with me on my Twitter handle, @MzanziMedia, and I'd love to engage with you on any of the issues that we've taken on in the show. And take us at our word. This is really going to be an open forum. There are no subjects that are taboo, and we'd love to have some of the younger, more under-listened, if that's the correct phrase, voices to join us in this discussion. Thanks for your time.
The Doc and the Guru, proudly brought to you by Infinity Media, incubating innovative businesses in the media industry.